It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday, July 9th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. We are in many ways still waiting for the fruits of big data. Well, there's a new study out this week that looks directly at how big data can bring down healthcare costs, from trying to better understand high-cost patients to being more efficient about where you send a sick person with the help of so-called triage algorithms. We'll get more with the help of an author of the study. Dr. David Bates is Senior Vice President at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Dr. Bates, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
What is a triage algorithm and how might it be used to help in a hospital setting?
A triage algorithm is a tool that helps you predict how sick someone is going to be. Some patients are so sick that they need to go straight to the intensive care unit. Others will do fine on a standard care unit. And tools can help providers predict how a patient is going to do.
What is keeping healthcare providers from putting some of this stuff into practice?
Well, 2 years ago, only 20% of the hospitals in the U.S. were using electronic health records, and now that figure has gone up to over 80%. Now, just having electronic records does not mean that you'll use big data approaches or analytics. In fact, almost no hospitals are really getting the benefits of this so far.
What else have you found in your work that has surprised you about the relationship between how we care for people and how we use the information that lies within their health records to do so?
You know, one example is a patient in our healthcare system who was very expensive. With a big data approach, it appeared that they were depressed. When you look back through their record, though, even though they'd been seen dozens of times, there's no mention of depression anywhere. After their depression was treated, their utilization decreased dramatically.
Wow. So if you looked at the whole picture, you could diagnose in a way that people weren't diagnosing during specific visits.
Exactly.
Dr. Bates is Senior Vice President for Quality and Safety at Brigham and Women's Hospital. Dr. Bates, thank you very much.
Thank you again.
Just like big data, the Internet of Things has been a thing for a while now. Don't be bummed, though, if your bathtub ain't talking to your kitchen sink and your front door over Wi-Fi yet. The long-promised future where our connected homes make our lives even better still has a big challenge, one that a group of tech companies, Intel, Dell, Samsung, have joined forces this week to tackle. Here's our friend and technology columnist, Molly Wood.
It seems to all come down in some ways to standards.
Aha.
The idea that we have a bunch of things,
yep,
but they all need to be able to talk to each other. So the latest attempt at a universal language was just announced this week.
And we're talking Intel, Samsung, and Dell.
But last December, another group, another consortium led by Qualcomm was announced, and that's called the All-Seen Alliance.
It's like all these different alliances. Which one will win? Maybe it's like a game of Risk.
I'm going to go with Survivor.
Yes, that's the analogy. So what do you think about this version?
You know, there aren't that many examples of a true open source universal standard that actually united everything. I think that we're going to have the same sort of ecosystem-driven tech world that we always have, and maybe that's okay because we get competition.
And even if competition does eventually give us the best possible common language for all of our smart home devices, Wood says it may take a while to deliver it. If you're listening to our show in your car right now, see if you can spot any 18-wheelers on the road nearby. And if you see one, there's a good chance there's something special happening underneath the hood. A technological revolution is quietly underway in the trucking industry, and it's bringing us cheaper goods and cleaner air. Reporter Matt Baum has more.
Head on down to the Port of Long Beach on any given day. Stand alongside the hundreds of big rigs meandering from harbors to freeways and take a deep breath. Every truck that rolls by coughs out a little whiff of diesel exhaust.
We still suffer from the worst air quality in the nation, and that means that our residents are not breathing healthful air about a third of the year.
That's Dr. Matt Miasato at the South Coast Air Quality Management District. He says diesel engines are a major contributor to toxic air, not just in Long Beach, but across the country. And in addition to delivering asthma and lung cancer, old-fashioned dirty big rigs eat up $150 billion in fuel every year. The good news is that manufacturers like Cummins and Peterbilt are working on new trucks that are 50% more energy efficient. Dr. Mark Duvall at the Electric Power Research Institute says that companies like Staples are experimenting with electric delivery trucks. Staples can expect to pay $30,000 more for an electric truck, but to recoup that expense in maintenance after about 3 years.
You can actually take the combustion engine and it's not even in the equation, so you get rid of it, you get rid of the transmission, the fuel tank, all the emissions systems, and so you save quite a bit of cost and weight, and you make a much simpler vehicle.
The Union of Concerned Scientists ran the numbers and estimates that the most fuel-efficient big rigs would save 1.4 million barrels of oil per day. The Department of Energy is pushing truck manufacturers to bring those savings to market as soon as possible through an initiative called Supertruck. Patrick Davis is director of the department's Vehicle Technologies Office.
I think you will see these technologies migrate to the market quite quickly. The cost of shipping is directly added to the cost of goods and services delivered. So as you lower the cost of shipping, you would expect the cost of those goods and services to go down.
Those savings aren't due until 2017, when tighter emissions rules go into effect. But some truck manufacturers are already getting a jump on that deadline by rolling out small improvements one by one, 3 years ahead of schedule. In Los Angeles, I'm Matt Baume for Marketplace.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.